Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, I want to take a quick second again to remind you that we have partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group, and he is here for the Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners to take care of all of your home buying needs. We've gotten a lot of DMs congratulating us on this partnership. Good for the show. Yada, yada. This isn't for us. This is for you guys. And Louis's your guy. We don't know anything about this, so we've partnered with him. Anybody that has questions, hit Louis up. All right. One thing I do know, did a little research earlier this month in July, mortgage rates hit an all-time low, at least for a long time. It 3.07% for a 30-year fixed rate, and as low as 2.56% average for a 15-year fixed rate mortgage. I don't know anything about numbers past, you know, like addition, subtraction, but I know those are pretty low. And I know that Louis is the guy to help you through this process. I'm going to read you a couple of reviews to just give you a kind of a feel of how other people have felt working with Louis. This is from Haley. We were first-time home buyers, and Louis was a tremendous help through the entire process. He helped with estimating monthly payments for potential properties and walked us through the cost and process when we decided on a home. Very personable and stayed connected with us through every step. Corey said, Louis has been extremely helpful and knowledgeable through our time, our whole home buying experience. What would typically be a stressful and nerve-wracking time had been turned into a worry-free process with Louis. And that's what you guys want, right? Louis is that young guy. He's personable. He's going to help you out. He's going to let you know everything you need to know throughout the entire process. So if you would like to get in contact with Louis and have him help you out, you can contact him at our special email that we've set up for this partnership, hawks@gohomeside.com. Or call him at 515-238-9949 to start the process. Thanks. Welcome back to the show, guys. We're so thankful you guys continue to tune in to this absurdity that is our podcast and our show. Remember to rate and review us wherever you can. It helps us grow. Today on the show, we talk about George Kittle securing the absolute bag, Big Ten football, Jeff Brohm's proposed spring schedule, and more. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Walk-Ons fans, episode 136 of the podcast. We're sitting here in the aftermath of the Big Ten getting canceled and the other conferences not getting canceled. having to witness SEC superiority get shoved right into our faces over and over again. It's still a tough time to be alive for a Hawk fan, not knowing if we're going to have football or not, looking like we're not. But we're going to try and make some good conversation out of it because there's always a chance and there's a lot of good people going to battle for these kids. And I think that's where we're going to start with this podcast. So, Kluber, where are we at?
Well, I'll tell you where we're at. We just, as you mentioned, we just released last Thursday. You're listening to this on Monday. Hope the start of your week has started fantastic. And if it hasn't, use us, the Wash Up Walk-Ons, to make it a little bit better. That's what Kirk Ferentz, our, you know, really the GOAT, Kirk's Dogs, it's coming, promise, used to preach every day, 1% better every day. It's going to make you a better person. It'll make your week better. Same kind of concept. We're in the aftermath of that conversation with Jeremiah Searles and a lot of good feedback. People like him. It's amazing that we found a Husker that people will continually ask to come on the show. Anyway, a lot of talk. The Big Ten parents are grouping. They are coming together, and we'll talk about that in a second. Led by the one and only Mo Gucci, Maurice Goodson. I really think he is the one who started it. Iowa parents are the ones who started it. And now, really? Yeah.
Did you see the Justin Fields petition?
Yep, I signed it.
Signed it.
Duh.
So,
tweeted 4 hours ago, has over 120,000 signatures so far.
And it had a 50,000 goal.
I just hope Kevin Warren feels like a big old piece of shit.
I hope he feels like a whole flaming pile of dog shit that Adam Sandler used to put on people's doorsteps.
But you want to know what, though? As a leader of an organization, as the head guy, Kirk Ferentz just did it as the leader of the Iowa football program. And it's so hard because when you're in a power position like that, it is so hard to make a decision and then go back on it or have something happen inside of the organization or the team or the company that you own, that you run, that you are the head of, happen and then go back and say, we were wrong. We made a mistake. Kirk Ferentz, obviously, we talked about his incredible way of holding back with the whole Akram thing in that press conference. Kirk Ferentz, also one of the most humble and just honest men we've ever met. And he came out and said, "I that's on me." Took full responsibility, blind spot in the whole racial disparity situation. Kevin Warren, oddly close to Kevin Ward. You might as well just apply, Kevin. You could probably be in that position at this point.
Do you think Kevin Warren, give it to me?
Yeah. I mean, you'd make better decisions than this guy at this point. I mean, Kevin Warren needs to come out and say and make the right decision. This is one of those times where you say you're wrong. Hey, we jumped the gun. We're going to try and make this work. I think that people would applaud him for that. Your thoughts?
Well, the thing is, it's not just his decision. It's the presidents that vote in, like,
yeah.
So it's really not up to him in the end, which, you know, I think he's happy about that at this point because, you know, first year guy and he's thrown in a shitstorm and he's following up a really well respected commissioner in Jim Delaney. And he just gets thrown a shit sandwich for his first year. And he's just like, you know what? President's vote, no, take it out of my hands so I can just go run and hide in a bunker and don't have to worry about anything.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I saw something on Twitter, like, you know, Pat McAfee retweeted it, and it's completely unverified that, like, Iowa, Nebraska, and Ohio State, they're still looking to play, yep, like, games this fall. Like, I have no idea if that's factual or not. It's Twitter, so I'm going to say it's probably not.
Probably not, but yeah.
I don't know. I'm still kind of just, you know, not feeling myself right about now. August, like, you're supposed to – it's mid-August, you know. Mm-hmm. All guys are supposed to be kicking off in 3 weeks, man.
Oh.
And I you know, I'm usually amped up. I drive past the stadium every day. I was like, ooh. it's almost game time, boys. It's almost game time. And now I just drive past him. It's like,
hey, you know what we need? And keep talking, but you know what we need? We need a little – I think the fans in Iowa Nation needs a little bit of some back in black. You know what? And I think I can play – I think I can play like 15 seconds of it without infringing
without copyright.
Yeah, without infringing on copyright. So I'm going to get that up in a second. I'm holding out hope, which in fact is something that we just talked about. We just got done – recording an episode with the man, the lead peacock himself, Frank Garza. You guys are going to hear that on Thursday, and you guys are going to love that one, especially those who are interested in working on the mental side of yourself, finding ways outside of just the physical presence of your own body to be better at whatever you do, not just sports. Could be in business, could be as a parent, could be in a relationship. Frank Garza was incredibly insightful. And I know Drake loved – Drake doesn't usually tweet about the guests. He tweeted about this one. Drake, I want to hear your thoughts.
He was too smart. I didn't know Frank was going to have that significant of a background in mental skills. You know, I've gone to counselors for my whole life. You know, you guys make jokes. Drake's a little crazy. Ha ha, stop buckling me on Twitter. Happens to be the truth. but yeah, so, you know, I've been to the mental skills counselors, and I think Frank did an equally good job as anybody could do in a 1 hour segment of breaking down how important mental skills are.
For me, it was, I agree. For me, it was, he kept saying, why would we continue to focus on – and I don't know if I agree about that the mental and the physical should be equal. Maybe they should. Maybe mental should be more than physical. Who knows? I don't know. You'd have to actually play that out in practice. But the fact that mental work and breath work and kind of meditation, we dabbled in it. Kevin, you just mentioned before we hit play – we had the Headspace app. We did a little bit of meditation, some 20-minute ones. I used it to fall asleep a couple nights. And I've had – recently, I've been running this half marathon prep, and I've fallen into some pretty meditative states on my long runs, which has been interesting, yesterday being one of them. I was out of body yesterday on my 8-mile run.
I never told the story about how I almost died on that hike.
No, you didn't.
And that was an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, and you can mention that in a second. But Frank really brought to the forefront in my head, like, wow, we probably are lacking on the inner ability, the mental ability, the way to craft your mind and how you think and how you control yourself through thought and through your consciousness to make the physical side of you better. I think we lack there. I think Carmen was a huge help for us. But it wasn't enough. And it's not all on Carmen. It needs to be more than that. And we've mentioned Carmen plenty of times, Drake's mom, basically, on the team. But yeah, Kevin, your thoughts?
No, I mean, like you said, before we started, we pressed record, I mentioned how, you know, mental training was just something I really kind of just, you know, snubbed off before back during college. And, you know, Coach Doyle would talk about, like, you know, the CEOs, like all the highly successful people in this world devote time to mental training. And that was just one thing from Coach Doyle I just could not buy into. It's like, I didn't need it. But, you know, a few years removed, I've started to work on it a little bit. And then, you know, listen to Frank Garza. It's like, yeah, I missed the boat there, but can only move forward. So I'm definitely, like, I do work on it now, but I'm probably going to try to up my game a little bit now too.
And you know what I think? Even if – and Frank was, you know, he's probably on the other side of the hill here. He's very into it. I mean, he's got – they literally have, like, programs that they're helping younger kids work on with it. Who knows if it's really effect – because some of it does get a little bit, you know, it's a little bit like, I don't know if this works – But it's something, there's something to it because, yes, Luka Garza from the 18-19 season to the 19-20 season got a hell of a lot better, made leaps and bounds. Some of it has to be the mental work that he was doing. It's not, it just, I know he works his ass off. Frank talked about, and you'll hear about it on Thursday, how they were doing three-a-days practices. But some of it's got to be to that mental work. I have to think. And
it's impossible to separate the mental from the physical.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited for you guys to hear that interview because it's an hour filled with Frank Garza. We barely said a word. I mean, we barely talked about
like literally.
So you guys, so those who hate listening to us talk and just like the guests, you're going to fucking love Thursday. But yeah, back to it. I don't know. So I'm still holding out hope is where that all came from for college football. If Ohio State and Penn State and Iowa and Nebraska go and play in the ACC or the Big 12 or the SEC, I think it would be wild for a year. It presents a whole new host of challenges with the TV deals and all this stuff. But man, you'd hope that they could figure a way out of it. You know who will be playing football this fall?
The NFL.
The NFL. You know who plays in the NFL?
George Kittle.
George Kittle does. Huh? And the 49ers are going to play ball because they just paid the man $75 million. Let's talk about it. Our guy, 8'5", used to be 4'6", in the black and gold.
He needs to buy about 46 ball trimmers from us so that we can meet our quota.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. But our man George Kittle, GK, just got the bag, boys. Let's talk.
What does $75 million feel like?
It's heavy.
In California, it probably feels like $40 million.
Yeah, it probably feels a lot like $40
million. Facts.
I was just talking to my brothers last night. We went to the racetrack again last night, two weekends in a row at Prairie Meadows. So fun watching the horses race. But so I'm sitting there talking to Austin and Zach about George's contract. And Zach is, he's 20 years old. He's kind of a ditz. He's a free spirit, not super like in tune with a lot of adult things yet. So income tax, not really something on his radar yet. And so I was explaining to Zach, like, hey, he's going to get like barely over half of that money in California. Like, whereas if he was playing for the Texans or the Cowboys, he's taking home all of that. And Zach's like, that's fucking robbery. They're robbing him. I was like, yeah, they are.
Federal's always going to get their chunk, but
well, yeah,
he could be saving like 13% off of $75 million if he played in Florida or Texas.
It hurts.
Or Tennessee or, yeah.
It hurts. But you know what doesn't hurt is the chunk that he is taking home. It's so much money. He sets the new record for the highest paid tight end in the NFL.
By a lot.
Now, Travis Kelce brings out a $14.3 million a year deal on the same day or the day after, basically.
Was he jealous? Probably.
It's for like a year or two less. So the
but he the already knew he already knew he wasn't going to be able to get as much as George because they just paid Patrick Mahomes $500 million. They just re-signed Chandler Jones.
When you pay,
where is Kansas City coming with all this money? By the way,
Andy Pat McAfee wants to know that too. He's been screaming about where is Kansas City? I need to see Kansas City's books right now. He said,
you know who this is great for is Kansas City doling out all his cash. For our buddy Ben Neiman, that unsigned free agent, man.
Let's go.
They need those cheap guys.
Let's go.
Facts.
That's huge. They're like, hey, Ben, you know, we just paid Patty half a bill, right? So there's none left. The tank is empty.
But you're going to play a lot of snaps.
We're going to give you.
We love your contract. You ain't going nowhere.
We want to keep you for as long as we can. We're going to give you $865 a year, and it's going to be great. Right, you're going to be able to do what you want. You and Pat, you're not going to hang out because you're now in completely different circles. But, hey, we love what you're doing at linebacker for us, and we want you to be a chief until you retire, man.
And listen, we are telling you, literally, you don't mean shit compared to Patrick Mahomes. You know, we're all part of this team. We're all part of the equation. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. But to cut the political bullshit, we pay you $800,000 a year to shut the fuck up and tackle.
don't even think about, like, looking him in the eye during
– Yeah, also, don't come to us with any questions, okay? Because what, $500 million, we're basically clipping Patrick Mahomes' toenails when he wants it. We're, you know, we're taking the Manscaped trimmer to his balls if he asks us to. It's that
serious. And if he asks you to do it, you better do it too.
Because, listen, not only is he the quarterback of this franchise, he is also an owner of the baseball team.
Yeah, and might as well run for president at this point. He could probably put in a real run for the other two money here in November. Anyway, George Kittle's got all of the money now.
He told me what his purchase is going to be, and I won't blow his secret because it'll be cool when he shows, but it's pretty sick.
He a house or a car?
I mean, I'm not going to blow his secret.
It's a house. One of the two. Come on. It's one of the two.
It's a car. All right,
it's a sick car.
It's a car that you can live in. Anyway, happy for him. Happy for Claire. Happy for – and you want to know what? Taking it back to Frank Garza and what you guys will hear on Thursday, George is a guy. Emma Kittle, Claire, Jan and Bruce, they're into the mental side of things. They're into yoga. So I think Kittle's got paid. Luca's going to get paid. They're all doing this mental meditation.
And none of us did any mental training or very little, and we're nobodies.
God. But we're trying to get paid, though.
We're trying.
We're trying to get paid. Kevin put a great quote on the table when we were discussing a potential – the walk-ons could be signing with a media company if they answer the right questions here in the next week or so. Kevin said, I'm always hungry. So I like when there's more on the table. And I thought that was a good quote. So we're hoping this
hungry boy, man.
I'm hoping this company puts a little more on the table.
I need a lot to eat.
Yeah, we're hungry, man. Happy for George. We're gonna get George on to talk about it. Because the first
George,
thing
when you're listening, you still haven't donated me any PECAs, which is kind of bullshit.
At this point, he should be maxed out.
Yeah, the fact that he's not gemming the shit out of his Clash of Clans base right now is honestly poor teammate.
Yeah,
he's being a poor teammate.
Yeah, that's a poor clanmate for sure. And we'll get to that. We're still going to have George on to talk about that. We're going to have Claire on at some point too, because I think the side of getting Claire's perspective on everything that's happened to George and then also her story of Iowa basketball, that'll be a great episode as well. But we're happy for our guy, all right? And Drake –
Greg, do you know if they're – are they redoing the wedding in Italy next year, or what's the plan?
Yeah. And that whole – trip planning has been an absolute disaster. So thanks a lot to George and Claire for being too rich for their own friends and having to have a lavish ass wedding in Italy rather than the beautiful Redwood Forest in Northern California or any of the other destination places in the United States. No, we got to go to Florence, fucking Italy.
I was about to say, I think that wedding just got upgraded, but whatever.
I mean, yeah, of course. It's going to be sick.
Well, at this point, he should be flying everybody else out. So you should probably put that one in there. Anyway, we're happy for our guy. And like Drake said, with $75 million, do you realize how many Lawnmower 3.0s you could grab with code WALKON at manscaped.com?
I think it'd be 20% more than normal $75 million would buy, right?
It would be, because the code WALKON, WALKON, is a 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. You heard it here first. This is actually the fourth time you've heard it from us. I'm wearing their underwear right now, and if I was a little less shy, and if this was a Patreon exclusive, I'd get up and show you, right? I'd show you the underwear. But I'm not going to. You're going to have to trust me. They're just elite, right?
I'm wearing their ball trim, and I would show that also if it was a Patreon exclusive, but it's not. So you're going to have to trust me on that it's nice and smooth and trimmed, okay. And I appreciate the work that the Lawnmower 3.0 did for me.
Now, Kevin, what are the odds that our 80 Patreon subscribers want to see Drake's shaved junk?
The anteater, I don't think anyone wants to see that.
Well, regardless.
But I will say there would be more willing to see it after he used the Lawnmower 3.0.
The Lawnmower 3.0, code walkon at manscaped.com. And then after you trim it up, you take a shower, you're nice and clean and ready to go do whatever you want to do.
It's going to make you happy. It's going to make your lady happy. It's going to make the whole, it's going to make,
how did I just get shit on in my own advertisement?
Well, you use the ball deodorant and everything works out. You just do. Manscaped.com. Use our code walk on 20% off free shipping. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Hey guys. Yep. It's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Back to the show. Let's talk a little bit about the meat and potatoes here. This is what we're going to talk about. This could be our last episode ever if we. So let's say that there is still hope. Let's say that the hope is gone. I mean, which is it's a little dire to think about. Jeff Brohm at good old Purdue out there in West Lafayette. I don't know what they do for fun there, by the way. So
there's not a whole lot to do.
So I guess this is why
they just go to class. I think they study for fun.
Right, which is why he probably is the one to come up with this spring proposal, kind of into next fall proposal plan, which is pretty in detail. We're going to break it down. He came out with a potential plan for the Big Ten, at least. It is tough because who else is playing? Are there other conferences playing? Yada, yada. He came out with a proposal, and I was on Twitter on Sunday, I believe, a week ago, maybe a little less. And I said, I'm a big proponent against a spring season. I think it's going to hurt people. You heard us talk about that on the Searles episode, which, Kevin, glad you reached out on Twitter and said that you liked being a fan for that one.
It was a good episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it, boys.
Yeah, well, I mean, really the guests make the content, and he's a fantastic guest.
I understand.
Yeah.
I know. No one listens to us.
No, I know. Yeah. So let's go over this, and I want to hear your thoughts. You're about to get a perspective of three guys who went through the entire phase of a Division I football season four times and part of another one, five times. And we're going to give our thoughts and opinions here. So I'm going to read this off to you guys, and we're going to go kind of phase by phase is how he breaks this out. And I'm going to see what you guys think. So it starts January 16th, 2021, which happens.
I already hate it.
Which
I already
happens,
hate the plan.
I know, which happens to be 4 months from today. 9, 10, 11, 12. Just kidding. 5 months from today. January 6th.
Hard sometimes.
Yeah, it is hard. I imagine this is the day that they go back to school, which is why it starts on this day. Your first phase is a two-week training camp buildup. Not training camp, it's a training camp buildup. You get a 16 hours, essentially 16 Kara hours, only 4 days a week. 8 of those 16 hours get to be strength conditioning, 4 hours of walkthrough, 4 hours of meeting and film each week.
So it's 4 days, 2 hours in the weight room, 1 hour walkthrough, 1 hour meetings.
Correct.
And okay. Each meeting actually goes an hour and a half, and each walkthrough
goes
probably a little longer. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to add in the extra
care hours. Okay. Come on. Care hours always have the quotations.
You get the extra 30, 35% time increase in there. So that goes for 2 weeks. until January 29th. January 30th, Saturday, January 20 or 30th, starts a four-week training camp. And I know that just sends shivers down Kevin's spine. So essentially the
– Nope. Don't like that.
The month of February, so the 30th of January to the 26th of February is training camp. Now, I don't think it's going to be training camp like we know training camp.
No, there's no way it could be because they'd be in school.
The two stipulations are 2 days off per week, mandatory, and maximum of two practices in full pads per week.
Wait a minute. That ain't no camp that I've ever heard of.
So – it's a little bit different here. So we get 4 weeks of that, and that takes us to the end of February. Saturday, February 27th, begins an eight-game season. So you're actually – the last week of that training camp is actually your first game week, and Saturday, February 27th, is game number one. It is an eight-game season.
Are we going to be playing in somebody's – are we playing in Indianapolis's dome? I don't want to play a game in Iowa in February. Are you shitting me, boy?
You shut your mouth, Kevin. You're not playing.
But maybe they're playing it in the other team's indoor facility.
Who knows? I don't know what's going on.
That would actually be kind of lit.
That would be wild.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Just set up basically a practice. Like,
I would fly back to Iowa for a winter vacation just to see one game in the bubble or in the indoor.
In the indoor? That'd be cool.
Just because I would have to do it once.
Okay, I mean – so timing wise, okay, eight games.
Eight games. Start, it takes us through
at the end of February.
The last Saturday of February through April 17th. There is no bye. You go eight straight weeks, no bye. And there is some detail into that, and I'm gonna talk That'd about be it. So
conference championship
at Yep, yep. So through this period so far, I actually think we're okay. You know, I don't know how good the games are going to be. That's the one thing here is like, what kind of product are the teams going to be putting on the field? I don't know. But as far as safety goes and health and keeping players as fresh as you possibly can, while also
the first season's not the problem.
I realize that. I know. So in this eight-game season, come down here. This is a nine-page document, by the way. The proposal is six divisional games, two crossover games. And if there's a rivalry crossover, that's like given priority. So Iowa would essentially play the West and then two crossover. Yeah. I tried to think of like an Iowa crossover rivalry and there really isn't one. Like Penn State's always a good game. So I don't know. Give us Penn State and Rutgers.
I can't even really think of any major crossover rivalry.
Minnesota, Michigan.
I mean, we don't like
Minnesota, Michigan. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't like Michigan State very much.
We don't like.
Yeah, but it's not like a traditional rivalry.
No, definitely not. Definitely.
I don't like anyone from the East. It doesn't make them rival.
Right. But that's how he proposed it. Six division games, two crossovers. Now,
Indiana, Purdue.
Yeah, Indiana, Purdue. This would end Saturday, April 17th. You then enter a 2 week prep before the postseason. So you get a 2 week break. May 1st, which is 14 days after your eighth game. There's two different plans here, and it depends on if other conferences are involved or if it's just the Big Ten. If it's just the Big Ten, you play the Big Ten Championship, which I believe is – let me go down and scroll down here. I believe the Big Ten Championship is just the top in the two divisions. It's the same as it would be. And then you play – see, I don't get it because it says Rose Bowl or four-team playoff. And I don't understand that. Or plan B is a 16 playoff where all conferences are involved here, which I think is the lesser option because they're moving forward with fall football. At least it looks like. But it would be a five conference champions plus a wild card, and the top two seeds get a first round bye.
So, I mean, that'd be the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the MAC. I mean, like, who are these other conferences?
Well, no, I think this is assuming that football doesn't happen this fall for anybody, which is why it's plan B. But essentially for three weekends, May 1st, May 8th, May 15th, you have a three-week postseason period. And May 15th, the national championship is played.
Okay, so – end of the regular season is when again?
April 17th.
So if you don't make it to the Big Ten Championship or this supposed playoff, you're done mid-April.
You're done. And this is where a three-month discretionary period is what he calls it comes in, which all the teams fall into after their postseason, whatever that may be. Everybody falls into a full discretionary period up to a complete 3 months off of no mandatory workouts at this time. Now, obviously, all the schools are going to be like, this is what we're doing during the 3 months. You don't have to come, but it – and the no mandatory during those 3 months – so essentially April 18th through July 18th is a three-month period where they're basically saying, hey, for the health of our players, you don't the universities are not allowed to grind them out mandatorily. Not sure if that's a word, but they will anyway. At least they kind of will. To a certain extent, they'll be safe. And then – this is where the next fall season comes into play, which is where I don't like this plan of spring football because you're fucking up two seasons. You're messing with two seasons because of one. Like you're like,
right. Do you just cut your losses this year to have a normal year next year?
Right. Which is to say that Corona is gone and COVID regulations are back to normal and we have a vaccine this time come next year. Who knows?
Let me tell you why I like it though, is because spring ball already exists and we already know how much of a grind spring ball is and how much it can beat your body up. Like it's in true. A regular calendar year, you play a season and you get a couple months off where you train hard as hell. And then you go to spring ball and you try and murder each other for 15 practices minus the two that are in shells. And like that's a tough period of time. Like
it what? Is, but I mean, Drake, you came out, we're talking about coming out of 4 weeks of basically spring ball followed by an 8 week season. That's not even going to be close to compared to what your body is feeling like after spring ball.
So yes, you're right. But I'm saying that it's already, there's already a period of time. It's not going to be as – spring ball isn't as
– yeah, you're not just throwing 12 weeks onto zero. Like, it's not like you're already at baseline zero.
Right.
You're baseline 5 weeks and you're throwing
– and you're only making it 8 games as it is.
Yeah.
I don't hate the proposal whatsoever, even though I think it's bullshit we're not playing this fall. But if the fall absolutely can't happen and this is the proposal, you got to remember it's only a one-year thing. Like, this isn't a going forward, we're going to have fall football and spring football.
Right.
They're doing it one time, and I think it's a pretty good plan.
Now,
before I give my comment on it, what is his idea for the next fall?
You didn't really get that. He goes all the way through the championship of the 2021 season as well. So we get to the end of that three-month discretionary period, basically your summer off, which will be –
I mean, that's just not possible.
You
need to train. You need to be in the weight room.
To a certain extent, yeah. The kids need to be trained, but it's
otherwise, you're not helping them. You're hurting them by not training.
Correct. So that goes till July 18th. July 19th, which is usually about the time that summer conditioning
The last week of summer.
It's the last week of conditioning. July 19th, you start a 6 week summer period, which goes through August 27th of next year. This is all this says is 8 hours per week of summer period, which is.
So that sounds like it's going to be your normal.
Basically your training. Normal summer, which.
I mean, ours is usually 7 weeks.
7 weeks. And ours was probably about 15 hours. Realistically, maybe 12 mandatory hours, but, it says 8 hours per week during that 6 week summer period, which goes through August 27th, which is usually when that first game happens. Now, after those 6 weeks, there's a 1 week off, just like you would in a normal year, between your summer program and your camp. Then you come back September 4th for a 4 week training camp. Again, exactly like the training camp for the spring season. It's 2 days off mandatory per week, maximum of 2 padded practices per week. That lasts all the way until October 2nd, which is the first game day Saturday of next fall. So we're starting the season basically 2 months behind. September 5th was the first game this year. It's going to start October 2nd in this proposed plan next year. You play a 10-game season, only one bye week. So you are cutting out two games. So now you're looking at an 18-game span in
calendar year.
In a calendar year, which makes it a little better than 24. Plus, you're going to look at postseason as well. One bye week during that 10-game season. And then very similarly, the postseason is kind of the same. The postseason does not start until January 1st, and it runs through January 15th, which is where it really sucks, because if they're going to do this, they're literally going to play the postseason up until kids come back. Like, they're not going to get – if you're in the postseason, basically, you're not getting a
– You don't get a break from that.
You don't get a winter break. The national championship happens on the 15th or around the January 15th of next year. And then you're basically in the spring semester of 2022.
I mean, that's about when the national championship is anyway.
It is late. It happens like about a week before that normally.
Now, in this proposal, I would then extend it all the way out to spring of 2022. And I would create new mandates for a single year on spring practices of 2022 where they are lower contact. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's probably going to be detrimental to some of the younger kids. But again, this is just a 1 year thing in my mind so that it takes off some of the stress from the older guys who have just put in 18 games in a calendar year without as much rest time off. What do you think about that?
I think you need a shitload of walk.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. So, I mean, this is a very well thought out plan, I think. Obviously, it's never going to be ideal to play in the spring. You know, you're going to have two kind of funky seasons. I'm kind of curious at that 3 month like dead period that they have in there. Like,
yeah. So all it says is literally
discretionary or whatever.
Sunday, April 18th, or end of season if you get, you know, past that into the May postseason of that initial spring ball coming up or spring season. Through Sunday, July 18th, it says full discretionary period, up to 3 months off, in parentheses, colon, no mandatory workouts at this time. So to me, that means, all right, University X, you have 3 months with your team. You cannot mandate a single workout or practice. You can have practices and workouts, but you cannot make them mandatory. And it is up to you during these 3 months how many practices you have, how many – you probably won't be practicing.
Yeah, I'd say any school that's practicing, that's like borderline negligence.
But you can have any walkthroughs, any
– like walkthroughs and like our skills and drills would be the right. Most that – yeah, I would do. You know, I'd also like – you know, you're going to want to take like a month off after that season, you know.
Right.
Have any buys and then – you know, probably just, you know, the kids just need to go home and like be home for a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, I probably want to get them in the weight room before that July, whatever date that you had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And start getting their,
like, July 18th.
Their bodies back to work and getting ready up for another season. I can see this happening, to be honest with you. Like, you know, the time frames sound, you know, realistic in regards to recovery and everything.
And that's what I thought initially too. I actually looked at it and I was like, this could work. Now, does it hurt me? And honestly, is it like almost, it almost pisses me off that we even have to talk. Like, I'm not even enthused to talk about this right now, but it's relevant. Like, it actually could be what happens. I found some down in the documents. Again, 9-page document. You can search Jeff Brohm spring plan if you guys want to see this full thing and go to the Sports Illustrated link. So it has a health and safety part of the document, and it says more complete rest periods than a typical year. After a typical season, teams play a bowl game at Christmas and start right back up 2 weeks later in early January with mandatory 8 hours per week lifting program. This plan provides up to 3 months off from mid-April to mid-July, complete rest where all activities for the players are completely voluntary. Now, in theory, yes, that sounds great.
Great. But in actuality, 3 months completely off, not doing it. That's going to be bad. But I don't think you're going to have to worry about D1 athletes being complete, scumbags for 3 months.
Right.
Only once in a while.
Yeah. Right. Give them a month, I think, like a full month.
It says after a normal season, most teams start actual practices in the spring after sometimes only a 2 month period from their last game the season before. This plan has up to 4.5 months of time between the last game in April and the first actual football practice in September. 2 days off, and then another bullet point, 2 days off per week in each 4 week training camp compared to 1 day off per week in a typical training camp. So it is offering up in chunks of the year. They are actually including more rest than a typical year.
Yeah. And that's why I can see it as being feasible. Just like rest and recovery wise, I three strength and conditioning guys here. I do worry about the limited amount of time that they're going to have in the weight room with the strength and conditioning staff. Cause again, you spend the entire off season getting your body to your peak. And then once you hit the season, you're just trying to do as everything as you can to stay as close as possible to that. And you're going to go downhill. So if we're starting at a lower base, your body's going to handle the season isn't going to be as great. So.
And here's where I think it comes into play as well. Like I said, like, great, you come up with a plan and it does work, right? In theory, the dates all check out. The rest actually looks decent. If programs are smart and follow that, if programs are smart and understand and kind of take the health approach like they should during this time, there's actually room here to be smart and probably be safe. The problem here is, what's the product on the field going to be? Like,
I don't think there's any possible expectation of it being like a normal year.
Like, is it even worth it is what I'm saying, and here's the other thing. How many kids, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it's just a straight up question. How many kids want to play an 8-game season that might not mean shit with no postseason and lose a year of eligibility? I know for a fact that, that my brother wouldn't. I talked to him about it. He didn't care about it. A spring season with no bowl games, like they don't want to play that,
So, what's the alternative? That's the question that we need from the NCAA, right? And the Big Ten is, what's the alternative? Do guys get another year of eligibility?
If it's use the
spring or too tough, you're still out a year, then guys are gonna play,
right?
But I think the other thing is, how do the seniors do? Any senior that has any idea, any fathom of going to the NFL, there's 0% chance they can play that spring.
Because in this plan, I think
you'd finish your last game. The draft would be the next week.
Right. I think the draft this year was like the 27th, 28th, 29th.
Right. After you get drafted, you go to the NFL team and you start working out.
Right. And this,
the NFL don't care, man. You're playing in the fall.
This proposal has the 8-game season. That 8th game happens on April 17th. And then next week you're drafted? No fucking chance.
You got rookie minicamp a week and a half later.
Yeah. I mean, hey, this week you're literally playing your last game for the Hawkeyes. Next week you're practicing in pads with all the other rookies for the Titans. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So, you're basically asking any senior with any chance at the NFL to forego their senior season.
Right. So now we try to figure out who has the best, who's most advantageous there. Could it be the Hawkeyes? Maybe we benefit out of this plan.
I don't know. What's their senior class look like?
I mean, guys who legitimately wouldn't play for a shot at the NFL, you're looking at like Chauncey, It's probably.
So we look back to our year. That means Josie Jewell's sitting out, and your boy gets to finally start a full season.
Kevin Ward is the starter all of a sudden. Let's go. yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know. The plan works in theory. Mentally, as a player, knowing that you know January 16th, you're coming back for school. The training camp buildup starts for the spring season. And you know you've got another season later on in the year. Like, whoo, that's a lot on a mental plate, psychological, kind of physical, everything. It hurts me that the world is so soft and that we can't just play this fall. And I'll just leave it there. And anyone who wants,
I think, because let's be honest, is the virus situation really going to be better?
No,
in February.
No, and Drake, I saw you tweet about the you could be fined or jailed if you don't take the vaccination, and you're just like, all right, throw me in jail. Yeah. Put my name on the prison cell because I'm adopting that for however long you need me to. Because I am not.
If Bill Gates thinks he's sticking his weasel needle in me, he's wrong.
I just don't feel I'm all for vaccinations. Like
I will be the like later trial group to get that in my arm. Like I'm gonna wait like a full year to see like, hey, okay, we didn't turn any people into zombies like in I Am Legend. Okay.
That's what I'm saying is like, how great does this freaking thing look up front, but we rushed it to market.
Right. Like a typical vaccine takes like 10 years to make.
Well, cause you need to make sure that in 5 years from taking it, your liver doesn't melt. Like what if in 5 years this vaccination comes out and all of a sudden people just start like, for some reason, people start losing feeling in their lower half of their body. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, that rush to market corona vaccination, it paralyzes you from the waist down after about 5 to 8 years of it being administered. Like,
but instead of a 99% chance of surviving, you now have a 99.8% chance of surviving.
Right. And also we got to play a spring football season. Like, fuck me, dude. Like, come on. I can't. And
at least you guys are coming to bat for me because I get killed for this shit on Twitter, which I don't care about, but you guys are coming and saying the same thing.
I think it would be wildly irresponsible for anyone to just blindly say, yep, I'm in for a COVID vaccination. Give it to me. Like,
show me the data, you know, show me the long-term follow-ups.
If you
show me it's, you know, it's safe and effective, sure, whatever, if it makes you happy. It's not going to affect me. It's probably not going to make me any healthier or any less likely to die from the thing, but if it makes you happy, sure.
For a COVID vaccination, I would honestly right here, right now, I would rather someone inject me with COVID to vaccinate myself from it than any vaccination that's pushed to market in the next.
On August 16th, 2020, yes, 100%, I agree with that statement.
I will get COVID right now rather than get the COVID vaccination right now.
I said it on this podcast. I'll butt chug COVID so that football can happen.
All right, well,
I'll take everybody's COVID.
If you do that, will you make sure to trim up your butt so that we can get a clean pour with the lawnmower 3.0? Because we're gonna make sure that all that COVID gets inside of it.
Facts.
Unbelievable. What the fuck is this show? What are we doing?
You know, maybe the people are right. Maybe we should be canceled.
But guess what? Episode 137 is about to come out, and we're not canceled yet.
Somebody cancel us, please. Because
we've been trying to get canceled, and y'all don't have the balls to do it. Come on. Cancel us already.
Oh, my God. So Jeff Brohm, I don't know if that's gonna work.
It's a thought out plan. It's a plan. Hey, it's a plan.
It's a plan.
That is 1 million times better than what the NCAA did for the last 5 months.
Jesus.
They didn't do shit.
Unbelievable.
We actually
and just think about how fast,
plan, which is the first part.
Just think about how fast Jeff Brohm got this plan out compared to how much time the NCAA had.
Well, it's because he's in the shit. He's someone that's been there, done that. He knows how to run a team through an entire how many phases are there? You got spring phase, spring ball, summer, camp, postseason. You got a five-phase season over the course of a calendar year for a Division I football team. You have a head coach. You have 128 head coaches plus who have, you know, personnel who have done it, put players and organizations and teams through that calendar year. Those are the people that should be making the decision on what this should look like.
100%, yeah.
Oh, it's not hard. It just isn't hard.
You see, you know, Oklahoma sent their players back. They had no positive tests, and then they come back after 2 weeks, and then boom, nine guys got it.
Well, we can't
play football. No, they can go to class and go get the Rona, but you know, if they play football, they're
well. There's videos all over.
More susceptible.
Yeah, there's videos on Twitter all over the place of, you know, people are moving back into campus for the first few weeks of school coming up, and people are throwing ragers.
It's college, dude.
Of course they are.
They're college kids.
And I love it. Throw a rager. Have an orgy. I don't care. But
make sure you use the Lawnmower 3.0 before you do it because nobody likes crabs.
Right.
Like, you're not going to keep college. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, you are not going to keep college kids from doing college kid stuff. You're not going to. College kids are dumb.
And it's incredibly ignorant of, like, the NCAA or the Big Ten to think that the players that they're making decisions on live in that environment. They are, as a part of that college environment and lifestyle, as all the other kids. But then they're going to say that this incredibly well-thought-out individual university bubble health testing every other day, every week, whatever it is, a complete complex to themselves, medical attention every day, that they're going to tell them that that environment isn't good enough to play sports.
Right. But I mean, you know how you keep them from getting COVID is that if they get COVID, you take football away from them. That'll make them be smart. That'll make them stay away from the ragers at the frat houses.
Dude.
Is if you go to that thing, you get COVID, guess what? Now you don't get to play for a month.
You're done. You're off the team. You're quarantined from the team. My brother, who has been a part of trying to make this happen for the Hawks, he's home now. He goes back a week from today for classes. We went out to the horse races, like I said. He wore his mask the entire time. The only person at the entire racetrack to wear their mask the entire time, probably. Because outside, there is no mandate. So everybody takes them off. I wasn't wearing mine. My brother wasn't wearing his. Zach ain't fucking around. They've drilled it into their heads. You ain't playing if you ain't wearing this mask. The players, I swear to God.
Right, the players
that was Seth Wallace that said that, wasn't it? You ain't playing unless you wear this mask.
Yeah. it would probably look something like this. Fucking Kluver, yeah, if you ain't wearing your mask and your pads ain't down, you ain't fucking playing this year. Right?
You better be firing them back there.
We need better fucking spirals, Kluver. Coach, you don't even know what it.
No, but yeah, the best way to keep, you know, college athletes from getting COVID is giving them a reward for not getting COVID, which is getting to play their sport.
I'm convinced.
That is how you keep college athletes from getting COVID.
I'm convinced the players would live at the complex if you told them that it would guarantee football.
They would 100. Think back to our senior year.
We talked about
it. And they're threatening to take it away from you. Would you be willing to go to our house at Benton Street, to the complex, and to wherever the hell we played a game, and nowhere else? 1,000,000%.
I'm talking straight up, bring the cots in. You don't leave the
cots. We hardly left our house anyway.
They could have taken Benton Street away from me as long as they put up, like, as long as they gave us maybe a video game thing in our lockers. We all got individual TVs just so we could make our little locker corner feel like home.
Yeah,
bro, dorm. Bring out the sleep sacks,
dude. The smooth bags, baby. Get those smooth bags out.
Fucking things.
Speaking of Benton Street and the memories there, I was on a walk today with Lauren, and we saw a squirrel, and it reminded me of Django.
Django.
There was a black squirrel at Benton Street. He was there for a solid like 18 months.
He was there a long time.
Like an 18 months to 2 years, and he outlived the average squirrel life expectancy by far.
He outlived our average, you know, how long our neighbors were. You know, our neighbors moved every year. We had new neighbors every year. But Django was a steady.
Django was a black squirrel that we named after Django, the movie, the Quentin Tarantino movie, Django and
Chain. One of my favorite movies. I love that
movie. Incredible movie. And that was an incredible squirrel, to be honest. RIP, because he's dead now for sure.
Remember when we looked up the average life of a squirrel?
Yeah.
And we were shocked by the answer.
Yeah, it was nuts. Not to be punny, because squirrels like nuts, I think. Squirrel eat nuts.
I'm sure they eat nuts.
This is where we come. The fucking no football and this stuff and the Big Ten canceling the season for the fall has brought us, the Wash Up Walk-Ons, to talking about squirrel life expectancies on our podcast.
But guess what, Kluver? Squirrel life expectancies and whatever conversation comes of Django is still less stupid than the Big Ten.
I agree. And I have nothing else to say. That's probably an episode.
Hey, George has a lot of money.
George has so much money, and he could probably buy the Big Ten at this point and run his own season. So,
Did you see that it's Garoppolo Kittle 2020 for local San Francisco council or something?
Hilarious. So funny. I need one of those shirts bad.
Bad.
God.
We should do?
God, but we can't make money off their fucking name yet. If right now, 100%, this would be a non-negotiable. The Wash Up Walk-Ons would be selling tens of thousands of these T-shirts. Probably not that much, but thousands maybe. If players could make money off their name and likeness right now, we would hit up T Good and Spencer Petras, and it would be a Petras Goodson 2020 fucking T-shirt, and it would be insane.
Maybe we can just hold it for them. Maybe we can make the T-shirt, but then we just hold their part in a separate account. You know. It's like an escrow.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, I think there's work. I don't think that loophole works.
No, because we're still profiting off of. I think then we get in trouble at that point.
Not if they don't sue us though.
Any lawyers listening, get back to us on that.
Don't get back to us. Me and Kevin are fairly sure we can't do that. Go talk to Drake.
Hit me up. I love laundering money and finding out loopholes, ways to screw people. So
okay.
Well, and anyone on the FBI listening, we would not be that upset if you arrested Drake.
Right. Just imagine the person to finally cancel Drake Kulik is the FBI or the IRS. We just straight to the top. Is there anything else? Because I got to edit this bitch and put it out for tomorrow.
I don't got anything else. Man.
I'm not actually laundering money, but
Drake's scared now. Any potential Internal Revenue Service agents, please disregard. All right, that's it. I really hope that this bullshit conversation we have once or twice a week brings you guys like some happiness. I've seen a lot of you guys tweeting it out, like, thank God there's a Wash Up Walk-Ons to get me through my day. And that honestly, it brings like a true smile to my face every time. And honest confusion about how we became the people in this position to actually like make people's days better, or get you through a shitty day of work, or get you through a shitty season of no Big Ten football. Like, it is wild to me still.
I just like knowing when people get a kick out of us, you know, that makes me feel good that people get a little laugh in their day.
Yeah. And hopefully you learned a little bit about squirrels, and that's really the true goal.
And trimming your man parts.
Yeah. And shaving your nuts. That's it. 136. 136 of these things, and we're doing at least 137 because we recorded it before this one. So, hey, you know what? As always, 138
is questionable, though. That's it from the walk-ons. Kirk's Dogs, Hawks by a Million, Walk-On Army. We are
George Kittle by 75 million.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.